The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. This is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, the gospel lesson just read. The sermon title is Wolves, Thieves, and Mercenaries. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today is known as Good Shepherd Sunday in the church. The gospel lesson for today is traditionally a passage from John 10, 1 to 30. In this text, verse 11, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. With such words, Christians think of beautiful images and paintings of Jesus tending a flock of white sheep in the wilderness. We think of the soft fleece of the sheep and their quiet bleating. We think of the little lambs frolicking in the field. We think of Psalm 23 that begins with the phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." All this reminds us of the goodness of Jesus and the providence of God. It makes us feel happy, secure, and filled with the joy of God's good creation. And that's part of Jesus' intent. But that's not what this sermon of Jesus is really all about. I hate to disappoint you, but this sermon is really a warning about wolves, which is another name for murderers, verse 12, about thieves, verses 1, 8, and 10, and about mercenaries, verses 12 and 13. It is really not about happy thoughts of fuzzy, docile sheep. Jesus' sermon about the Good Shepherd was occasioned by the Pharisees who had excommunicated the man born blind. That story is told in John chapter 9, just preceding our text. The Pharisees excommunicated that poor man because he was healed by Jesus, and he told the truth. Who healed him? That chapter ends with Jesus telling the Pharisees in verse 41, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remains." And then he told the Pharisees the parable of the Good Shepherd to explain to them what their sin was and why he was not forgiving them. Why would Jesus warn people about wolves, thieves, and mercenaries? In the realm of civil society, we know that decent citizens need to be protected from crimes and criminals. It is common sense. Well, maybe not during the COVID lockdowns, but otherwise it's common sense. The police, the sheriff's department, the FBI, and other government agencies protect us from evil people who prey on others. Organized crime, the illegal drug trade, prostitution, trafficking in human slaves, illegal gambling, and similar activities are conducted by evil people who live to destroy people's lives and possessions. And then there's also the whole area of white-collar crimes, such as embezzlement, Ponzi schemes, and all sorts of fraud from which the Securities Exchange Commission and other U.S. agencies try to protect us. Now, when Jesus warned people about wolves, thieves, and mercenaries, he was not talking about these type of temporal criminals. He was warning them about spiritual murderers, spiritual thieves, and spiritual mercenaries. Believers need to be warned about spiritual crooks and crackpots. If religion is a force, you might call spiritual wolves, thieves, and mercenaries the dark side of the force. Now, in his own day, Jesus warned the people specifically about the corrupt religious leaders of the day, namely the high priests and the leaders of the scribes, the Pharisees, and Sadducees. Now, when the New Testament writers wrote about the Jews in a negative way, they were talking specifically about the religious leaders whom Jesus opposed and who opposed him. The New Testament writers were not condemning all the Jewish people, since the New Testament writers were themselves Jewish, and so was Jesus. Do Jesus' warnings have any application to our day, or were they just directed against the Jewish religious leaders. Some Christian religious leaders in history felt that Jesus' words hit too close to home to them. So they supported an interpretation of the New Testament and Jesus' words that made all of Jewish people Jesus' enemy. Did you see that? They directed the attack to somebody else. And they ignored Jesus' own words to the Samaritan woman, John 4:22, and the Syrophoenician woman, Matthew 15:24, that salvation came from the Jews, and he was sent chiefly for their salvation, first and foremost. These Christian religious leaders ignored similar words from Paul, Romans 1:16, chapter 3, and chapter 9 through 11. And this interpretation by Christian religious leaders led to centuries of Christian persecution of Jews, including the Russian pogroms, and was the precedent and background for the Nazi Final Solution. In the 13th century, 200, 300 years before Martin Luther, the Christian church began to wake up to the fact that its own religious leaders were wolves, thieves, and mercenaries, both spiritually and temporally. You've heard of Francis of Assisi. The big city north of us was named after him. The poverty of Francis of Assisi was a protest against the mercenary attitudes and behaviors of the religious leaders of his day. Many of Francis' followers ended up in conflict with the Pope, who tried to suppress them by torture and execution. And that, what you call it, it was a program of suppression, we'll put it that way, by the Pope against the Franciscans, then became the cause and the beginning of the idea that the Pope himself was the Antichrist prophesied in the New Testament. That idea came from the followers of St. Francis. Dante Alighieri, in his 14th century Divine Comedy, depicted some of the popes and other high clergy in the very bottom dungeon of hell, the worst place you could be. Read Divine Comedy someday, and you'll see that. Appropriately enough, Dante had St. Peter denouncing them for being wolves, thieves, and mercenaries. And when the Protestants took up these ideas in the 16th century against the papacy and all those guys, they're just repeating what many had said before them, centuries before. Today, most Christians are ashamed of how Christian nations and Christian religious leaders treated the Jewish people. Today, the Pope has no temporal authority except for a few acres in Vatican City. The present Pope, Francis I, for all of his confusion on many ideas, is still a defender of traditional Christian teaching and morality against the malevolent forces of militant atheism and sexual perversion. The times have changed, but the word of the Lord endures forever. 1 Peter 1:25. So then, how should we understand Jesus' warning today? First, we need to realize that Jesus' warnings are that. They are warnings that require believers to avoid people who can do them spiritual harm. They are not warnings that give you a mandate to persecute or harass other people. After all, if a sheep tries to fight a wolf, it will either lose or become a wolf himself. So the first thing is, remain a sheep. Walk away from the fight and avoid the wolf. That's the Christian way. Second, we need to realize that the main point of our gospel lesson is that Jesus is the gate. He's the door to the sheep paddock. The paddock where the sheep live is the church. The shepherds who come into the paddock through the gate are pastors who are properly called by the church. Augsburg Confession 14. The shepherds who sneak into the paddock when no one is watching are people who attempt to be spiritual leaders without a proper call. Now, for us Lutherans, a proper call involves many things, including adequate training in the Bible and Christian theology, an examination, a call from the congregation that follows due process, and the consent of the church at large. Third, we need to realize that the main point of John 10, 1-30 is that Jesus is the owner of the sheep and thus the chief shepherd. You and pastors like me are only his assistants, and they must follow his orders. Well, what happens if pastors don't follow Jesus' orders? Then the sheep must follow only Jesus' voice. That is, words are as they are found in the New Testament. And this is what verse 4 means. When the shepherd brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. See, you've got to know his voice to be able to do that. So you need to know Jesus' words, particularly in the New Testament. When ministers do not follow the words of Jesus and his apostles, then plug your ears. Do not listen to them. Avoid them as if they were wolves, thieves, and mercenaries, because that is what they are when they do not follow Jesus and his apostles. May you always follow the voice of your chief pastor, the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, to your eternal salvation in the heavenly pastures. In Jesus' name, amen.